Namaste and welcome to Dharma Reflections with Raghu Madurai. Today we are going to talk about big problem having different solutions. In this Practical Krishna series, we are going to look into the life of the biggest unsung villain in Mahabharata, Jarasandha. Jarasandha was single-handedly responsible for helping Krishna reduce the burden of the earth by millions. Sometimes in our life, we solve one problem and a few new problems, more tougher and powerful than the one we solved, replace the old one. We see Krishna's life. He was constantly besieged by a series of problems. And many times, even for Krishna, having solved a problem, a new one comes in its place. And one such mega problem that lasted for several decades was Jarasandha. Krishna had come with different solutions for the same problem called Jarasandha. Jarasandha was such a powerful king that Krishna took advantage of the enemy's tenacity and organizing skills and put it to his avatar's purpose. This is a very important lesson we are going to look at deeply in the short while. Kamsa was the powerful uncle of Krishna who was trying to get rid of him when he was in Gokula and Vrindavan by sending many asuras. When Krishna was around 8 or 9 years, he was brought to Mathura under the pretext of meeting with Kamsa, and then he was challenged by Kamsa in a series of deadly duels. And Krishna, having vanquished all the challengers, finally kills Kamsa. Kamsa had two wives, Asti and Prapti, who were both daughters of Jarasandha. The sisters went back to the king of Magadha, filled with their woes and widowhood. Seeing their misery, Jarasandha got enraged. He commanded 23 Akshaunis of a huge army. Just for some context, the Mahabharata war fought between Pandavas and Kauravas. Combined strength was only 18 Akshaunis. 11 on the side of Kauravas, 7 on the side of Pandavas. An Akshauni comprises of 21,870 chariots, 21,870 elephants, 65,610 horses or cavalry, 109,350 foot soldiers. Thus, you have a huge number marching towards the gates of Mathura. As panic was in the region, Krishna thought of wiping out the entire army, but he also thought of keeping Jarasandha alive as he was bound to raise more armies. Krishna recalled the purpose of his avatara and reminded himself that it was to eliminate all the evil forces burdening the earth and for protecting the sadhus. Even as Krishna was pondering all this, two chariots descended from the heavens with all sorts of divine weapons and charioteers. Balarama was wondering what was happening, and Krishna reminded him of his avatara's purpose and also the familiarity of all the weapons he had already used. Krishna led Balarama and a small group of army to face this huge ocean of Jarasandha's endless army. Faced with this impossible task, they were showered and covered with a rain of arrows. Krishna twanged his saranga bow and attacked the enemy, and he was so fast it appeared that he was simultaneously attacking from so many places. Balarama had the pleasure of using his famous halayudha to the maximum use. In a short while, the endless mighty ocean of Jarasandha's army vaporized before the child's play of Krishna. Balarama caught hold of Jarasandha and was intent on killing him. Krishna stopped Balarama having conceived a long-term plan. Bhagavatam informs us with the word Karya Chikirseya. An utterly dejected, humiliated Jarasandha was bent on giving up the worldly life and retiring to the forest. But all his sidekick vassal kings convinced him that it was a bad timing that was behind his defeat. Krishna and Balarama were joyously received as heroes, even as entire Mathura celebrated the two saviors. Jarasandha thus led 17 expeditions with 23 Akshaunis each time, and they all met the same fate at the hands of Krishna and Balarama. In every expedition, only Jarasandha's life was spared so that he could go and raise new armies. On the eve of Jarasandha's 18th attack, another powerful enemy who probably came from outside the Sanatana Dharma lands, his name was Kalayavana, who also attacked Mathura with a huge force. Sensing the dual danger, Krishna had Vishwakarma, the architect of Devas, build a beautiful plant city in Dwarka and relocated all the citizens. Having dealt with Kalayavana and his army, which we will see in detail in a later episode, his small group of army started carting the spoils of the war when Jarasandha's army showed up. Krishna and Balarama acted as if they were afraid and they ran for many yojanas. Jarasandha's army gave a chase. They climbed a huge mountain called Pravarsana. Unable to find the duo, Jarasandha ordered the entire mountain to be set on fire. Krishna and Balarama escaped in a different route and returned to Dwarka. Jarasandha assumed that they certainly perished in the conflagration and he too returned to Magadha. Eventually, Jarasandha tried to create a stronger Magadha by arranging a political marriage for his vassal Sishupala, the king of Chedi, with Rukmini, the princess of Vidarbha. Rukmini wrote a wonderful message to Krishna and asked him to kidnap her. When Krishna showed up to pick up Rukmini per her request, Jarasandha, Shishupala and all the assembled kings put up a strong fight. Balarama, who had followed Krishna's sudden disappearance from Dwarka with a huge army, challenged the angry kings and showed them their place. Jarasandha, having lost to Krishna again, consoled Shishupala that sometimes time is not on our side and even he had to have 18 encounters before he could taste victory. Many years passed. One day, a person came to Krishna and explained the misery of the countless kings that were rotting in Jarasandha's prison. At the same time, Maharishi Narada brought the message of Yudhishthira's desire to perform Rajasuya Yajna so that he can become emperor. Krishna sought Uddhava's opinion. Uddhava suggested that Yudhishthira deserved to be an emperor, but such a possibility will not materialize as long as Jarasandha is alive. Jarasandha must be challenged to a duel and eliminated. This is possible only by powerful Bhima in the presence of Krishna. And to get closer to Jarasandha, they must disguise themselves as Brahmana, as Jarasandha respected the desires of Brahmanas. So Krishna went to Indraprastha, spent a few months there. Eventually, the topic of Rajasuya Yajna came and the need to eliminate Jarasandha. Krishna implemented Uddhava's suggestion. He took Bhima and Arjuna and all three of them disguised themselves as Brahmanas and approached Jarasandha. They demanded that Jarasandha bestow their desire, gauging their voice, demeanor, the scars on the hands from handling the bowstrings. Jarasandha already inferred they were Kshatriyas. Still, he granted their unsought desire. Krishna introduced himself and Bhima and Arjuna. Jarasandha felt Krishna was a coward and not worthy of fighting and thought Arjuna to be younger. Bhima, on the other hand, he found as a co-equal and as a worthy opponent. They came out of the city, selected a place to fight and fought using mace. Eventually, the maces broke, so they settled down to wrestling. This was a stalemate as they were evenly matched in their skill, courage, and their intention to eliminate the opponent. The fight lasted 27 days. The contestants would spend all day fighting each other, and the nights will be spent in a friendly manner. On the 28th day, the puzzled Bhima had lost his self-confidence, wondered if there was any hope. Krishna then revealed the birth secret of Jarasandha. The childless king Brihadratha had two wives and, being hairless, approached Rishi Chandakaushika, who blessed him with a mango and that he will have a son. Instead of giving the mango to his favorite queen, which he didn't have as they both were equally favorite, he cut the mango and shared it between the two wives. In due course of time, the two wives gave birth to a child. The only difference in this childbirth was each queen gave birth to only half a child. Seeing this ghastly form, they got rid of the mass of flesh outside their city. At night, a Rakshasi, Jara, who was eager to eat some human meat, approached the two pieces of the infants picked it up, and suddenly they became fused and got alive. The Rakshasi didn't want to eat the infant, so she handed it over to the king, who named it after her as Jarasandha. Jara, the name of the Rakshasi. Sandha means to join. Having understood the story, Bhima was more excited, still felt underpowered. Krishna infused his own tejas into Bhima and gave him a strategy of splitting him. He informed it using a twig while they were battling. He ripped it and put the two pieces apart. Bhima also ripped Jarasandha into two and threw it in opposite directions, and Jarasandha thus perished. Krishna installed Jarasandha's son Sahadeva as the next king and went on to discharge all the countless kings who were languishing in the Magadha prisons. Having installed their protector, Krishna, the Paramatma, in their hearts, these kings went back to their kingdom to rule in a very dharmic way. We will conclude the story here and look at understanding Krishna and applying it in our lives. The first point we can glean from this story is big problem needs different solutions. For some problems, one solution may not be sufficient. Jarasandha was such a problem that Krishna first dealt by eliminating his entire army. Eventually, he moved away to Dwaraka, and then finally, he brought Bhima and eliminated Jarasandha. Different solutions will be valid for the same problem at different times. The second message we can take is think outside the box. Krishna is perhaps the only example we can think of who uses an enemy to his advantage. He used Jarasandha's superlative organizing skills to carry out his mission of eliminating evil in the society. He even has a plan for evil Jarasandha, Karya Chikitsaya. It is important in our lives that work is more important than who is doing it. If we put ego up front, then the issue becomes who is doing it. If we cast aside the ego in our lives and look at some work needs to be done, doesn't matter who does it, let's get it done. That should be the outlook towards resolving problems. The next important message Krishna provides through this episode is teamwork. For the first 17 sieges of Mathura, Krishna used Balarama as a partner, and he does the same on the 18th as well. But he also uses Balarama and the Vrishnis during Rukmini Harana. Finally, he assembles a team of three to tackle Jarasandha one-on-one. He brought Bhima and Arjuna as backup. It is important to understand that though Krishna could have eliminated Jarasandha at the first encounter, he had his other teammates play important role. While building a team, it is important not to hog all the limelight and let some shine on the other team members as well. A strong team is as weak as its weakest member. The next message is focus on the now, but have a big picture. In other words, begin with the end in mind. Every encounter of Jarasandha was dealt in the now, in the present. But Krishna had a vision and a mission for Jarasandha. Krishna knew the psychology of Jarasandha and his strengths to raise new armies. So he kept the future potential possibilities, but he was focused only in the now. This is a very powerful message for us to live in the now, but at the same time have an eye on the future. The next powerful pointer we get is not to worry about the loser's tags. Krishna feigned that he was afraid of Jarasandha and ran. Jarasandha assumed it was real without even giving a thought how the same size of army, which got eliminated 17 times, would inspire fear in Krishna the 18th time. It is important to keep the priorities straight. Krishna did not mind being called Ranchor, a coward who ran away from the battle, as his priorities was to secure the newly built Dwaraka and protect its citizens. If we keep the priorities straight and focus on the task at hand, we will always be progressing towards our goals. The next message from this episode is to be bold and be willing to change our stance. Kamsa kept sending his asuras one by one, whom Krishna eliminated, he did the same thing when he approached Kamsa by killing all the obstacles and eventually Kamsa. But with Jarasandha's army, he chose a different strategy of eliminating them en masse. He did that 17 times. He could have done the same thing on the 18th, but as the circumstances changed, he chose to take a new path to indicate us that as problems change in their character, the solutions must also be different. Many times we approach the same old problems with the same old solutions and nothing good comes out of it. One must be willing to change the course with due intelligence. We don't have to change the course just for the sake of changing. Krishna also shows a very important lesson of how to deal with the fragile ego. Jarasandha, the first time, was so enraged by his daughter's misery, but after the first loss, that was compounded by his own personal humiliation at the hands of Krishna. Despite the repeated losses, Krishna ensured that his fragile ego was kept intact. A little more embarrassment would have sent the humiliated Jarasandha to retire in forest, and Krishna's purpose would have come to a halt. So when dealing with others' ego, know that it will always be fragile and one has to be adept in handling this fragile ego. Another message that this episode teaches us is to be prepared. Krishna was prepared with the weapons every time Jarasandha showed up. But as the problem got compounded in the 18th encounter, Krishna put the focus in building Dwaraka through Vishwakarma and relocated the people ahead of the conflict. Krishna did his homework before challenging Jarasandha by knowing his biography, by understanding his psychology, by having two other warriors in the form of Bhima and Arjuna, and present a choice, knowing fully well that Jarasandha will pick Bhima over Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna also demonstrates of being just. He had the upper hand in every encounter with Jarasandha, yet he kept his purpose above the situation. He ensured that no kings were harmed when he abducted Rukmini. He even forgave Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, who attacked Krishna with one Akshauhini army. The same way, Krishna did not cut any deals with the numerous kings he released from Jarasandha's prison. It was not a political gesture to buy their support for Yudhishthira's Rajasuya Yajna. They were not expansionist, so Krishna did not occupy Magadha. They installed Sahadeva, Jarasandha's son, to be the next king. Perhaps the last message we can glean for now is to wait for the appropriate time. Jarasandha could have been killed at the very first encounter, but Krishna had to wait for the right time. In our life, we may have the most perfect solution, yet if timing is not right, it may not fall into place. This small episode is so ripe and filled with so many wondrous messages which we can apply in our daily lives. Just like we put sugarcane in between the rollers and keep pressing, with every pass, the juice gets sweeter. There is only one difference. In case of sugarcane, after a few iterations, it loses all its sweetness. But with Krishna and his leelas, the madhurya increases every time. It becomes sweeter than the previous time. May we study the scriptures not to just profit for our spiritual quests, but to apply the wisdom in everyday living. This alone will enable the holistic evolution of all our faculties. This will also be an easy way and a painless one to exhaust all our vasanas. We can travel this samsara much lighter and be assured of reaching our destination. Krishna's lotus feet make these Krishna Leelas, his words, his actions, and his feet continue to guide us and inspire us. Om Tat Sat.